those who are kind benefit themselves. I think that's kind of an interesting concept. If you are kind, you benefit yourself. We always think, well, I'm kind, I'm benefiting somebody else. But I think something's going on inside you that's a very positive thing when you're being kind to someone else.
I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. Is not proud. Is not rude. Is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror, but then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. So the last couple of weeks, we have spent our time talking about, first of all, the definition of love, which was a couple of weeks ago. And then we talked about last week about patience. And that's something that I admitted then, and I will admit to you again, that I have some difficulty with. I like the slide that Jan put in last week. This says, Lord, give me patience and give it to me now. But today we're going to talk about kindness. And this is something else I've got some difficulty with. I guess I'm kind of like Neil when he's driving down the road and somebody cuts him off. I mean, that bothers me. I can feel my blood pressure rise. Or they cut in front of me or whatever it happens to be. I was driving yesterday down 54. I'm in the left-hand lane and there's a car two lanes over to my right and made a left turn right across the entire bunch of traffic right in front of cars in all three lanes between them and me and turned left right into oncoming traffic. Didn't get hit. It's amazing that they didn't get hit, but that was not something. That was not a time when I felt a lot of kindness. And those things happen to all of us. But when you think about the two words that we talked about last week and we talk about this week, patience and kindness. Patience and kindness. Are they related? Is there a relationship between patience and kindness? And John's got the microphone, so when you want to...
They are related.
That mic's not working, Joel. So there you go.
I was going to say they are related from the standpoint that they're both tied together by love. You know, all of these attributes are the result of love. If we love, then we have patience and we have kindness. So at least in that way, they're related.
Yeah, if you look at that fourth verse, love is patient, love is kind. You know, when I think about patience and kindness, patience to me is more of an emotional reaction to something. I mentioned the author, Thomas Goldman, last week or week before last, who wrote the book Emotional Intelligence. And he says, oftentimes when our emotions take over and we do things and say things that we wish we hadn't said or wish we hadn't done, he coins the phrase, we have been emotionally hijacked. And I think when we lose our patience, we have been emotionally hijacked. Kindness is more of an intentional thing. Kindness is more of a behavioral action. I think it's a choice that we make. If we can pause between something stimulus that happens before we take action, before we say something, before we do something, we can decide in our mind that I'm going to be kind when I say this. I've even seen people who have given negative information, who have reprimanded individuals, who have criticized individuals, but in saying what they said, you knew they were saying it with kindness. I think that's a choice we make. But too often, the emotions take over and we snap back and we say something and we do something that's not kind. And maybe an hour later or later that day, we think, I wish I hadn't done that. I wish I hadn't said that. Now, oftentimes our ego gets in the way and we don't go back to the person and say, hey, I want to apologize. I was sitting with a group of people just a couple of weeks ago, and a neighbor had blocked part of a driveway of another neighbor, and the two ladies were having a conversation, and the first one is kind of an emotional person. I mean, her heart's as good as gold. I mean, wonderful individual, but she says things before she thinks, and she says something very sharp to the other lady who was sitting there about the car being parked across part of the end of her driveway. It didn't create a big problem, but it was a little inconvenient to back out of the driveway. And she said something, and then she said something else, and you could tell the emotions were going, and then she said, well, I'm just going to leave before I say something I shouldn't. Well, she'd already said something she shouldn't. Too late. And so that wasn't a very kind thing to say. And the emotions took over, but I think if we really think about it, it's a choice that we make to be kind. So patience and kindness are similar, but I think they have kind of a little bit of different perspective. Another question I would have for you. We talk about kindness. Is being kind and being nice the same thing? Someone says you're a kind person, or someone says you're a nice person. Is that the same thing? Got a microphone up here.
It sounds like it is.
Sounds like it is.
I mean,
okay.
I don't really have anything to further say on that. But to me, it sounds that they are.
They're certainly similar. Is there a difference?
First cousins.
Pardon?
First cousins.
Okay, I was just looking at. Is this working? Is it working?
I don't think it's working. Here comes another mic.
Okay, I'll speak up.
Okay.
I was looking up the definition, and in the Bible it says it's selfless, compassionate, and merciful for you to be kind. So,
okay, thank you. Test.
So kindness is something you have to practice.
Test.
Greek.
Testing 1, 2, 3.
Testing 1, 2, 3.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
I'm sorry. Now say that again.
Okay. Kindness is something you have to practice. Anyone can be nice, depending on, you know, the situation. But kindness is meaning you have to be kind even to your enemies and to those who, you know, go after you or persecute you or, you know, try to put you down. Okay. That's when you've got the real test. And it also says, look to Jesus. He's our ultimate in kindness.
You can almost have a rule to be nice. Okay, I'm going to follow the rule. I'm going to be nice. Janet.
Not always are they the same thing.
Okay.
Okay, there are times when the kind thing and the nice thing are almost opposed to each other. In other words, if I see you doing something that puts your soul in jeopardy, the kind thing to do is to talk to you about it, but it won't necessarily feel nice.
Okay, very good. Richard had a comment back there, John.
I think being nice maybe is a little bit more superficial, and it's more focused on the person who's being nice. It's more about how I act, whereas kindness is looking to the well-being of the other person more so than how I behave.
Yeah, I think niceness, a person who is nice, they follow the rules, they do what they're supposed to do, they say what they're supposed to say. A kind person is something coming from inside that individual. There's a source of kindness. 1 Corinthians 13 says it's what, Jen?
Love.
Ray had a comment there, John.
Well, niceness could be an attribute of a person, but kindness is an action that they take.
Okay. So when you think about, what does the Bible say about kindness? I've got a list of references here. In Proverbs, the 11th chapter and the 17th verse, it says, those who are kind benefit themselves. I think that's kind of an interesting concept. If you are kind, you benefit yourself. We always think, well, I'm kind, I'm benefiting somebody else. But I think something's going on inside you that's a very positive thing when you're being kind to someone else. You're giving, you're sacrificing, you're helping, you're assisting, you're being kind to someone else. And so there's something inside me that's promoting that. Galatians, the 5th chapter, the 22nd verse, one of the fruits of the Spirit is kindness. In Galatians 6:10, let us do good, let us be kind to all people. An expectation that God has given us with His commands. Ephesians 2:7, the ultimate demonstration of kindness has been when God sent Jesus to die on the cross. Kindness that was expressed toward us, a sacrifice that God made in giving His own Son to us. Ephesians 4:29 says our speech, what we're saying, should be kind. Ephesians 4:32, we're told to be kind and compassionate. So there's a couple of words that the origin of kindness. In the Old Testament, the word is hesed. You have to, if I could gargle and say that more accurately, I could do that. But it's the meaning of that Hebrew word, it means steadfastness, faithfulness, loyalty, graciousness, kindness, goodness. And I know I'm not keeping up with Ariel. Thank you for keeping up with my slides. That's the Hebrew word. In the New Testament, the word is krestonomai. And that's the word for gentleness. Interesting concept. It's also the word for benign. Any of you had a medical test and the doctor comes back and tells you that polyp is benign? What did you feel? Relief. Amazing relief. I had that last year. And when he said, it's benign, I went, whew. That was the kindest thing that man could have said to me. so benign or kind. And it's an active word. So when you look at the history of this word, it talks about to furnish or provide what's needed. When applied to people, it also means good, honest, trustworthy, kind. Divesting your life. Again, back to what comment was made earlier, a sacrificial type of behavior. When you invest in something, when you invest your money in 401k, you expect a return. When you divest, you're giving something away. It's leaving. And so kindness is a divestiture. You're giving something. You're sacrificing something. You're not expecting something in return for what you have done. And this is the only example in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 13:4 is the only example where this word, this Greek word, is used in the New Testament. A wonderful example of where Jesus expressed this is found in the Luke, the 7th chapter. If you've got your Bibles, you want to turn there, if you will, read with me. Luke 7th chapter, the 11th through the 17th verse. It says, "Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples, a large crowd, went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother." That's key point. "The only son of his mother, and she was a widow." So she didn't have a husband. This was her only son. "A large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, 'Don't cry.' Then he went up and touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. He said, 'Young man, I say to you, get up.' The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. 'A great prophet has appeared among us,' they said. 'God has come to help his people.' This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country." Why was this an act of kindness? And who was the kindness shown to? John?
The very unfortunate circumstance that happened to this woman touched Jesus' heart. I think that is the key. And we've all had that situation where something unexpected that happens to somebody else really touches our heart.
Okay. Jen?
The plight of widows in the New Testament was significant. There was no Social Security. There was no, for the most part, cultural obligation. That's why one of the first people in the church that needed to be taken care of were the Grecian widows. But I just this moment had a thought that had never occurred to me before. Most scholars believe that by this time, Joseph was dead, meaning the mother of Jesus was a widow. And seeing this widow's plight reached and touched into the heart of the Savior so that he could not but do something about it.
So what would happen to this woman if Christ had not done that? She'd been sitting in the gates asking as a beggar. She would have nothing. And Jesus realized that, thought about that, and then did a very gracious act of kindness. He healed. And you know, it seems to me that when you think about when Jesus did these miracles, something left him. Is there another example of that you can think of? What's the example you're thinking of?
When the woman who had the issue of blood for 12 years came up to Jesus in the crowd as they were going to the household of Jairus, she reached out and touched his garment, and the scripture says, and immediately Jesus, perceiving that something had gone out of him, or that virtue had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd to see who had done this thing.
Great example. Because something left Jesus. He divested himself of something, every time one of these miracles occurred. This act of kindness. He did something for someone else. And this time it was intentional. The woman is mourning the loss of her son, and he brings that son back to life. John, we've got two over here.
When you think of the two words, nice or kind, I often think that I would rather be thought of as kind than nice, because there are some nice people that are not thinking that they may think of themselves first, but they're still nice people, and you can get along with them and everything else. But if somebody thinks of you as a kind person, then you know that you've done something for someone else. And so that, and the other thing, there was another part of this that, like a drill instructor in the Army, you're not going to think of him as a very nice person, but he is trying to get past 18, 19, 20 years of your thought process and put in his thought process, and he's really got your best interest at heart. No matter how he's acting, you know, he's not going to be a nice person here, but he is being kind because he's trying to save your life.
His vision is out here. It's not right here. It's not what's happening right now, right. But he knows what you're going to go through down the line, and you're going to have the skills to do that.
So what I was saying by bringing that up, a kind person may not be always a nice person.
Yeah.
And so I think if I had to choose between the two words, I think I'd rather be thought of as kind than nice.
I've heard people say to someone, well, that was a nice thing to do.
Pardon?
I've heard people say to others, well, that was a nice thing to do.
Yeah.
And so that's nice. I mean, it's good that they've said that. It's good that you've done that. But I'd much rather somebody say, you know, you're a really kind person. Got one back right behind you. I don't know. He's pointing up this way somewhere. Somebody up here? Okay. So there's a lot more entailed in being kind than it is in being nice. You know, I think that's important. Jesus showed his kindness by raising this young man from the dead. Yes, John.
Would it be fair to say that niceness comes from the head and kindness comes from the heart?
It could be. And his point was, niceness comes from the head, kindness comes from the heart. I think that's an excellent point. We can think and do things that we know we should do, and somebody says, well, that's a nice thing to do. But kindness, if you're a kind person, and I think there's more consistency. If I do something that's nice, that's an act that occurs in a moment in time. But if I'm a kind person, there's a lot of those acts. I mean, that kind of permeates who I am, makes me who I am. It kind of governs everything that I do. Not just how I act here with you, but how I act when I'm at home with my family or with my neighbors, with my friends, the people, customers that I work with. Act in a kind way. That's kind of comes from an inside you. Somebody asked me one time about how much, running my company, how much repeat business I had. And I said, and I made the statement that I don't think I have ever worked at a place in my entire professional life, and I ran my company in Tennessee for 30-something years. I don't think there's a client that I had that I couldn't go back and work with them again. Now, That's not because of how excellent the job I did. I like to think that sometimes, but it's probably not. But it had a lot more to do with the relationship you built with the people who were there. And sometimes they didn't pay their bill on time, and, you know, I didn't beat them over the head. I'd send them a nice email. Hey, could you check on this for me? Didn't have it stamped in red and say we're going to charge you interest if you don't pay this. I mean, sometimes when business people do their work, they don't act in a very kind way. When you go out and trade cars, we've just gone through that with my daughter recently. They don't act in a very kind way. Buying your groceries, shopping in a department store. You know, kindness is not exemplified driving down the road. Kindness is not exemplified in people's behavior. Our society is being less and less kind. We are more polarized. I tell people that I've used this example before, I think. We lob grenades over the fence at people. Hopefully, they won't know who did it. That's the way social media works. You get on there and anonymously you can say anything you want to say. And our neighborhood has a social media site called Wilderness Neighborhood or something like that. And I don't know who these people are, but I don't post anything on there rarely, unless it's an announcement of something. But you go in there and you read some of the hateful statements that people make, not knowing who they're making that statement about. They have no idea who that person is. They have no idea why they did what they did. But it's an angry, hateful statement that they're certainly not promoted, not by kindness. So when you think about kindness, in Titus, the third chapter, and the third through the seventh verse, it says, "For we were once foolish, disobedient, misled, enslaved to various passions and desires, spending our lives in evil and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but on the basis of His mercy through the washing of the new birth and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us in full measure through Jesus Christ our Savior. And so since we have been justified with grace, we become heirs and confident of the expectations of eternal life." There's nothing we can do. There's no act that we can do that earn us salvation. That is a gift that God gives us. That's a sacrifice that He made for us. So when you think about, if you can take those slides on forward to the ways to practice kindness. My clicker doesn't seem to be working today either. But anyway, when you think about ways to practice kindness, there's four that I've listed here, but then I want to kind of go into detail on one of them. First thing I said is be kind to yourself. We're pretty hard on ourselves sometimes. When we make a mistake or we fail, we do something we shouldn't do, we're pretty hard on ourselves. So as Christ forgave us, forgive other people. We also need to forgive ourselves. Maybe we can make amends for that. Maybe we can say, "I'm sorry," and if you mean that, say it. But forgive yourself. Be kind to yourself. And the second one I put there was kindergarten basics. There's a book that Robert Fulghum wrote in 1986 called "All I Needed to Know I Learned When I Was in Kindergarten." So some of the things that he listed in that book: share with others, play fair, don't hit them, put things back where you found them, clean up, don't take things that are not yours, say you're sorry, wash your hands, and my favorite, flush. Warm cookies and cold milk are good for you. And he goes on, take a nap, variety of other things. Watch out for traffic. Hold hands, stick together. There's a lot of ways that we can practice kindness, and they're not difficult. They're not things that you've got to go study a great deal to find out what you ought to be doing. We know these things. It's not a matter of knowledge. It's a matter of our heart. So we kind of get toward the end here, back to where we started earlier, when John was saying, it's more a matter of the heart. Say thank you. Show gratitude. And then listen to understand. Neil this morning in his sermon mentioned Stephen Covey. And he wrote a book called Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. That's probably one of the most often read books since it was published years ago. But I think it's the fourth habit in there. Was seek first to understand before you seek to be understood. So often people want to be understood. I want to say what I want to say. I want to say it when I want to say it. And you're supposed to listen to me. Well, listening is kind of a lost art. I always tell people when I teach a listening class, God gave us two ears and one mouth for a reason. That we should listen twice as much as we speak. And that may not be exactly accurate, but that message should certainly be something that we should think about. So, is there a benefit to this? And let me ask you, what are the benefits of being kind? John, you may need a microphone on this one. What are the benefits of being kind? Got one there, right here.
Scripture says you reap what you sow. Okay. So if you're mean to others, others are probably going to be mean to you. And the opposite also works. Kind people often reap kindness. It's not true all the time, obviously. But you said social media earlier, and my wife and I were just making this discussion over dinner recently about how our society has lost even the desire to be kind because they're so self-focused. Social media, I want the right picture of me on the internet. I want the right likes of me. My daughter, one of my daughters, when she was about 13 or 14, said I had never been retweeted. Well, you got to tweet first to be retweeted.
Yeah.
I didn't have enough likes on my social media account. I don't have any social media accounts. Those aren't important to me, but they're very important to everybody that's, you know, been born in the last 20 years, including my daughters, one especially. That focus that on yourself does not produce a soul that wants to be kind. Yeah. They want to be thought highly of in the wrong way, mm-hmm. usually. And they're going the wrong way about being thought highly of by the people that you want to be thought highly above about.
Yeah.
So you're trying to impress the wrong people if you're hoping to be thought of as kind by doing the right things. One of the girl's friends was always out there on social media, but she always had to take it in front of her neurosurgeon father's, 10,000 square foot home. And what does that say about who you are and what kind of person you want to be perceived as? So we need to teach our children and grandchildren. I guess it'll be my grandchild that I'll try to, they're even saying that social media will not be as important in the next generation because this generation will learn about not seeking kindness and what it's done to our world and what it's doing to our world. Yeah.
I hope you're right. If you don't have a social media account, I mean, you have go on Facebook and somebody's posted something on there, with one button you can like it. And then people take a lot of pride in saying, I got 57 likes when I posted that. From who? I'm not sure they even know the people that liked it. There's no relationship there. Linda's got a comment.
think one of the main benefits is that it warms your heart and soul.
Yeah. Kindness warms your heart and soul. Even when you do it, there's a benefit to you from doing it. There's a sense that you have given something, that you have helped something, that you have sacrificed something for somebody else's good. Got a comment back, way back in the back there on the left.
Sometimes it inadvertently plants a seed that you aren't even intending to plant. So, for instance, if you're always kind to the people around you, when you want to speak to them about Christ or something like that, they know you to be a kind person and exhibiting this Christ-like behavior.
It's a great point. If I am perceived as a kind person from those people who are important to me, when I have something difficult to say, it's easier to say it, and it's certainly more likely that they will receive it in the way that it's intended. Richard has a comment here, John. You're on.
We feel good about the fact that, you know, that we've you know, said, done something nice to somebody, and the pet peeve of mine is the
mic is muted. There you
go. Okay, it was turned off. We make ourselves feel better by when we get a notice that it's someone's birthday, we click a button and say happy birthday. That's nice. That's being nice. Kindness is taking the time to go buy a card or maybe handwrite a note or go find that person and you know, physically wish them a happy birthday.
Yeah.
This, again, more of a superficial thing.
Yes. It's more than clicking a button. One of the other benefits that I've put on here is that I think kindness is contagious. When you are working with a group of people in an office or a company context, and there are people who are kind to each other in that environment, I mean, you're attracted to that. Somebody can offer you another $50 to go down the street to work for some other company, and they don't have that type of environment, you're not going to go. Because you enjoy the relationship that you have with those people. It's contagious. When you're kind to me, I am more likely to be kind in return. We kind of need to learn that in our society today. That doesn't mean you can't have differences. Doesn't mean you can't disagree on things. But one of the things, not too long ago, I was at an economic development meeting in Tennessee and was talking to Chuck Fleischman. He's a representative for the district that represents Knoxville, Oak Ridge area. And I asked him, I said, Chuck, the tenor, the tone of the communication that's occurring in the media today from the House of Representatives is appalling. It's not about a disagreement on a policy. It's about you're demeaning another person and their beliefs. You know, I was listening to the media just recently. And when Dawn Staley, the coach at South Carolina, won the national championship with women's, she said, first thing she said was, in the meeting, I want to give all glory to God for this. Well, immediately, social media lit up and criticized her for mentioning God in her comments. And I don't have anything, I have no idea what Dawn Staley's faith is. But she said that, and immediately people started attacking that. And you see, time and time again, you see situations like that in our media today. People who are not kind, who do not give other people the benefit of the doubt. I think when you're a kind person, it makes you more attractive. People want to be with you. They want to associate with you. Certainly it has a good effect on others, and research will even tell you that when people are kind, there's health benefits associated with that. I think the opposite of that is stress. There's negative health benefits associated with people who are in high levels of stress jobs. And when they don't have those constructive relationships with other people. But there's good benefits, health benefits, when you're in a relationship where there is kindness that's expressed. One of the things that I'll kind of close with here is I don't think sometimes you know the impact of your kindness. You know, when I was out going through the health issues I went through this past year, and I went out to the mailbox sometimes and I'd pick up the mail, and I'd have a card from one of you. I mean, just the feeling that I had when I got that card. I don't know that that person knew that had that feeling when they sent that card. But I always tried to thank them for the card because I know the feeling it gave me when I got it. That somebody was thinking about me. Now, I know my family was thinking about me, my wife, my daughters, grandkids, they were thinking about me, but to know that somebody, some of you were thinking and you made the effort to get the card, write the card, and send it to me, that was a true act of kindness. And it made all the difference in the world to me for that day and for the days that followed. So you may never know the impact of your kindness. I'll close with this statement, the end of your handout there, the prayer that we have for the week. God, open doors for me to do simple acts of kindness. Give us the opportunity to be kind to those, even those who don't deserve it, who don't ask for it, who don't want it. Exemplify Christ in our lives through the kindness that we show to others. Okay, thank you.